When I get to heaven, I'm going to sing just like that. That's how I'm going to sing. That was wonderful. Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of James, chapter 5. The book of James, chapter 5. If the ushers are ready, we send out a newsletter every month. And boy, I'd just beg you, please permit us to send you the Christian Law Association newsletter. It's called The Legal Alert. It is absolutely free. There is no financial charge for it, but we do ask for a commitment. You say, well, what's the commitment, you ask? Would you give me 1 minute a month and pray for the lawsuits we're doing? Not a minute a day, not a minute a week, but a minute a month. Would you pray for these cases? Now, I promise you, when you're sued, you'll want everybody to pray. When your name's on the paper. And how many of you believe God honors prayer? He's in the prayer answering business. Ushers, come on forward. Now, if you already get our newsletter, you do not need to sign up again. But if you don't get it, please permit us to send it to you. We are legal missionaries. We defend these cases. We do it by faith. It's a faith-based ministry. We never make a charge. And would you please pray for them? How many of you say, David, send me that newsletter. Send it to me. I'll give you 1 minute a month. I'll do that. Hold your hand up, would you? Now, ushers, give one to everybody whose hand is up in the air. Everybody whose hand is up. And the second you get it, would you be kind enough to fill it out? And I beg you, print. Please print. Many of you, your handwriting is like mine. My handwriting is borderline hieroglyphic. Have you ever written yourself a note and you couldn't read the note you wrote to yourself? I run into that all the time. Please print. Now, ladies, don't put it in your purse. What goes in a lady's purse is never seen again. It's a goner. Nobody knows where it went. I'm not sure the Lord knows where it went when it goes in a lady's purse. Please don't do that. And guys, if you put it in the back of your Bible, you'll write sermon notes on the back of it one night. Please don't do that. That envelope is critically important to the churches, the Sunday school teachers, the moms, the dads, the pastors that we're having the privilege of defending. Please, please fill that out. And when you leave, we'll pick it up today, later, as you're going out. Now, please don't take it home with you. We desperately, desperately covet your prayer. This is a time when your church is focusing on the critical issue of friendship. And the world loves the term. They love the world. The world says, oh, friendship, now that's something significant. That's something of value. That's something meaningful. But what the world has done is taken the whole idea of friendship and turned it. And what the world says as a friend is not what God calls us to be at all. You see, the world says, let us explain friendship to you. It's got three governing principles. Here's the first one. The world says, if you want to be a friend, pick people who can do something for you. Pick people you can use. Oh, pastor, you'll want to be their friend. They can do something for you. And so all of a sudden, it's who you can use, who you can get something out of. What a tragedy to think that's a friend. Have you ever had somebody say, I want to be your friend, and the next response from you was, what do you want? All right. That's because that's so pervasive in the world. Well, the second thing the world says, well, if you're not going to have people you can use, at least have people you like. Why would I want to be your friend if you're not likable? And so all of a sudden, it's how likable can you be? And yet, tragically, we forget, often when people need a friend, their lives are in real disarray. And there may not be something there that's all that likable. And there's moments when you're not all that likable. How many of you ever had a moment when you didn't much like yourself? Hold your hand up. Sure. Amen. Wow. Well, the world says, if you can't use them, and you're not going to make it just on who you like, then for sure do a third thing. Make it be people who don't need anything from you. Make it just be people you can call a friend, but you're not going to pour any of yourself into them because you're specializing in friendships where the people don't get anything from you. And yet that's not the friend that the Word of God talks about. Do you understand? The Bible says that Jesus was a friend of sinners. And it wasn't who he could use or who he just liked. And it wasn't people that just wouldn't bother him. But he brought friendship to this whole thing of being a key to the faith. This morning, I take you to a passage of Scripture that I consider essential to friendship. You say, Brother Gibbs, what do you think is essential to friendship? There is no such thing as a friend who doesn't pray for somebody. Amen. Prayer is key to friendship. Amen. Absolutely key. I count your pastor as a friend. I love this man. But if I'm really the friend God wants me to be, I will pray for that man. Do you understand prayer is the most powerful thing in the universe? There's nothing that remotely comes as close to the power of anything as prayer provides. Because prayer moves the arm of the Almighty God. The God with whom nothing is impossible. The God who said, ask and ye shall receive. And are you, am I, that friend? One of the things I found in my own prayer life, Pastor, that was discouraging me, I prayed. But it didn't surprise me when nothing happened. I would pray, and then nothing took place. And somehow I got to the place where that didn't startle me. God gives us four key principles for prayer in the passage we're about to read. I want you to mark them, and I want you to keep thinking about friends, those that you pray for. Brother Steve Kluth, great, great member of our ministry who's here with me today. If I am really his friend, I will pray for that man. If someone is a friend, how would I hold back the most powerful thing in the universe that I could do for them? Let's get ready to read this passage of Scripture. I want you to mark it in your Bible. James chapter 5, starting at verse 17. The Bible says Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. God gives four essentials to prayer. I want you to write these four down, and then honestly in yourself, do I match these four in my prayer life? And do my friends get this prayer, which is absolutely essential to friendship? How many of you want prayer to be powerful in your life? Hold your hand up. How many of you want God to answer your prayers? Then write these four things down. Here's number one. You want power in prayer. The first key is you got to pray. You got to pray. You say, Brother Gibbs, that's too simple. No. That's essential. Do you know what I find everywhere? We believe in prayer. We just don't pray. You know what the Bible says? You have not because you asked not. God says, you wonder why your prayers aren't doing anything. You're not praying. Now, in the Bible where it says, ask and ye shall receive, and that came from the lips of Jesus. Jesus said, you ask, you'll receive. The word ask there was the word for asking with specificity. It was the word for asking in detail. How specifically good are your prayers? Now, I've never met anyone with any kind of a decent prayer life who didn't have a great prayer list. Because without a great prayer list, I think your prayers are kind of like mine. Now, without a prayer list, I'm good for 15, maybe 20, but more likely 10 or 15 minutes of prayer. And I'm praying these sweeping general prayers. Oh, God, be with my family. Help my family and my blessed wife. Oh, God, help her. And God, help our missionaries. Oh, God, our missionaries, please, God. And God, our church, our pastor. Oh, God, help America. And I'm just praying these sweeping prayers. What do you specifically want God to do for your family? Specifically. When Jesus said ask, it was the word for asking with specificity. What do you want God to do in your church? Specifically. What do you want God to do for this precious pastor? Specifically. What do you want God to do for a friend? Specifically. Are you praying specifically for your friend? What do you want God to do in your family? Specifically. I have a prayer list, and I pray for my wife every day. I have a prayer list for her with 62 things on it. Now, there's nothing on that prayer list specific to us. I promise you, every husband, every wife here would want these 62 things. But you're not asking. You love your mate. I don't question that. But you've gotten comfortable not asking. Oh, it'll change everything. We sing a wonderful song in our hymn book, Sweet Hour of Prayer, Sweet Hour of Prayer, that draws me from a world of care. Most Christians haven't prayed an hour in a long, 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 long time. Because they just kind of ran out of stuff to pray about. Boy, I promise you, you get specific, you will be amazed how it revolutionizes your prayer life. If someone were to ask me what's the single most important thing, get specific with God. What do you ask for? How many of you remember the name Lester Roloff? I was in a trial with him and he called me down to his motel room. And Brother John, he had papers everywhere. They were on both beds, they were on the floor, on the table, on the dresser, papers everywhere. And I said, Brother Roloff, are these papers for the trial? He said, no, 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 no. He said, these papers have nothing to do with the trial. And I said, well, what are these? He said, this is my prayer list. I said, this is your prayer list? Never forget what he said next. He said, I'm asking God for a lot. Why are you asking for so little? So very little. Now, what I'm about to say is not in the Bible. If the Bible said, and it does not, if it said, you get 10 asks, you can ask for 10 impossible things. And understand, they're only impossible with man. They're never impossible with God. But you get 10 asks as a child of God. Choose carefully. The Bible would be wonderful. But it doesn't say that. You have unlimited asks. But you're not asking Wow. What's on your impossible list that you're asking God to do? The most powerful thing in the universe is prayer.
Amen.
But you got to ask. Amen. Dr. John R. Rice wrote a great book, The Man That Founded the Sword of the Lord. It's a book on prayer called Asking and Receiving. He said something in that book that startled me. He said, every failure in a Christian's life is a prayer failure. Whoa. How many things in my life, how many things in your life? Because we just haven't asked. Oh, listen. There is no way to be the Christian we're supposed to be. There is no way we are the friend we're supposed to be if we are not going to pray. Amen. Write the second key down. Number one, you got to pray. And by the way, the only person who can do that for you is you. And boy, I encourage you, start keeping a list. Most people, when I ask them for their prayer list, they give me their Wednesday night church bulletin because it has a prayer list in it. And there's nothing wrong with that, except that's not your prayer list. That's the church's prayer list. And you should pray that, but you need a prayer list. And by the way, do you have one for your children? Specific to each child. Your grandchildren. Now, the other day, my granddaughter came up to me and she said, Papa, I know you have a prayer list for me. I said, I do. She said, well, would you put this on it? Do they know you so believe in the power of prayer that you pray? And when's the last time you went to a friend and said, what do you want me to put on my prayer list for you? Oh, it'll change it all. Number one, you got to ask. Right, number two, Dom. You got to be fervent. You got to be fervent. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed. There's the first one. Earnestly, there's the second one. When's the last time you prayed with fervor? You really poured yourself into it. Look at the verse ahead of that, verse 16, the last half. It says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. When's the last time you prayed fervently? I like what Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the London preacher, said. This is engraved on the side of the Metropolitan Tabernacle. It said, he who prays without fervency does not pray at all. It is essential that prayer be red hot. Cold prayers ask the Lord not to hear them. Those who do not plead with fervency plead not at all. E.M. Bounds, the lawyer who wrote all the great works on prayer, said, fervency is the soul of prayer. When's the last time you got fervent with God? Earnest. Do you know what it means? It means to be focused. It means to be into it. I mean, you're not just doing it, you're into doing it. Have you ever watched guys watch a ball game when their team's on the field? My brother Steve Kluth is here. He loves sports. And man, if we're watching a ball game and his team's on the field, it's like he's on the field. Stop him! What are you doing? Stop him! I say, Steve, relax. It's just a game. No, it's not. You know what? He's into it. How many of you men have ever seen ladies get into shopping the day after Thanksgiving? Oh, they're fervent. They're into it. When's the last time, honestly, you got into prayer? Little tip, you know what I was finding? I'd be praying, but my mind was going everywhere. I'd be thinking of all kinds of other things. My mind wasn't focused. You say, well, I'm just not a real verbal out loud person. You can be fervent and not say a word. Can I remind you, Hannah, when she went to the temple to pray for a child? She did not say one word out loud, but she was so fervent they thought she was drunk. Has your mate ever seen you fervent in prayer? Your family, your friends. Have you been able to say to someone, I've been in fervent prayer for you? Or would it just simply not be true? Oh, listen. If you want to be the friend God's called you to be, if you want to be the prayer warrior God's called you to be, the first key is you got to pray. The second key is you got to be fervent. Now, I've had wonderful people come up to me and say, Brother Gibbs, I don't know that I've ever prayed fervently. And there's a simple cure for that. Start doing it. Say, God, by your grace, I want to be earnest. I want to be fervent. And boy, I have to do this all the time. I have so much on my mind. God, help me keep my mind on what I'm praying for. God, put me into it. I find it very helpful to pray out loud because it focuses you. You got to pray and you got to be fervent. Write the third key down if you're going to be the prayer warrior, the friend God wants you to be. Number one, I got to pray. Number two, I got to get fervent. Number three, I got to get clean. I got to get clean. That verse, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. When's the last time with God you got clean? I want to confess to you a problem I had in my life for years. And Brother Moffat, I don't know how I got into it. God would speak to my heart and I'd go to the altar to get cleaner, but not clean. I never went to the altar to get clean. I went to the altar to get cleaner. But I had no intention of treating the other issues. And so all of a sudden we're praying and we know we're not clean. Now the scripture says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from, what's the next word? All unrighteousness. If you and I are not clean, it's because we chose not to be clean. What would it take for you to say, I don't want to be cleaner. I want to be clean. Like the psalmist, turn on heaven's spotlight. See if there be some wicked way in me. We sing this wonderful hymn of invitation, search me, O God. Do we really mean that? God, I don't want to be cleaner. I want to be clean. They say D.L. Moody used to close his services by saying to people, do not leave here if you're not clean with God. Boy, you want power in prayer. You want to be the friend whose prayers can make a difference. Then we got to get clean. I mentioned Lester Roloff. He had the most annoying habit. Oh, terribly annoying. He would call insanely early in the morning. I mean like 3:30, 4 o'clock. And he'd call and then he'd always say, I didn't wake you up, did I? And you'd say, no, I was just sitting here reading my Bible waiting for you to call, that's all. Well, he called, we're in a trial, it's going terrible. He says, come on down to my room. And I was down in his room ahead of 4. When I got there, he said, you know and I know this trial is terrible. He said, the jury's against us, the judge is against us. I got one lawyer, you. They got a dozen lawyers sitting there. We got no money. They got unlimited money. And this is just going bad. I said, yeah, it's we're having a hard time. He said, well, we're going to change it right now. We're going to pray. I said, amen. He said, prayer is going to change it. I said, amen. But he said, now, if we're going to have any power in prayer, you got to get clean. I said, what now? He said, if we're going to do anything, I got to have a clean lawyer. And you got to get clean. Now, no one had ever said anything like that to me before. He said, I got to have a clean lawyer. And he said, you got to have a clean preacher. He said, if we want God to really do something, we got to get clean. And I said, oh, yeah, okay. He said, now here's what we're going to do. He said, I want you to go over and get in that corner of the room and don't come out till you're clean. I said, what now? He said, you go over here, don't come out till you're clean. And he said, I'm going to go over here and I'm not coming out till I'm clean. Be honest, when's the last time, if ever, that you decided to get clean? Not cleaner, clean. So he said, you go over there. And then I thought, Lord, I don't know how to do this. I've never done this in my life. So I went over, bowed in this corner, and I'm like, boy, I don't know what to do here. Lord, help me. And then I made this decision. I know this. I'm not coming out of my corner till he comes out of his corner. Because it won't look good if I'm the first guy up. Now, you understand, I'm supposed to be getting clean, and pride has got its grip on me. Now, pretty soon, I mean, he's praying away out loud. And whoa, is he confessing things. I'm over here and I'm like, whoa, sweet Alabama, listen to that. Man, I mean, he's confessing sin out loud. And after about 10 minutes of that, he said, I don't hear you confessing nothing. You know what the tragedy is? We've gotten comfortable getting cleaner, but not clean. And then we wonder why our prayer lives are stalled where they are. Boy, an hour and a half later, we got up and we prayed together. I'll never forget his prayer. He said, God, those lawyers on the other side, turn them on themselves. And God, have that judge just kind of go goofy and get out of there. And man, we walked into court at 8:30. Amazing day. Judge said to me, you ready to proceed? I said, yes, Your Honor. He turned to the 12 lawyers. He said, you guys ready? And they said, no, we're not. We've got a problem. And the judge said, what's the problem? He said, this morning, we can't agree among ourselves. And we haven't had that problem up until today, but we can't agree what we should do with this case. And one of the lawyers popped up and said, can't agree? We should have never brought this case. This should have never happened. And those lawyers started arguing, and the judge said, whoa, do you realize you're talking in front of the jury? And 3 hours later, they dismissed it. But the lawyer there said, I don't know what happened, but something happened this morning. We're all looking at this different. And Reverend Roloff tugged on my sleeve. He said, you want me to tell him what happened? I said, no, don't you say a word. Because I'm afraid you'll say what you wanted to happen to the judge, and we don't need that right now. You say, well, I've never had anything like that, Brother Gibbs. God wants to answer your prayer every bit as much as Elijah's prayer. And it doesn't matter what you're facing. And it doesn't matter what the people are facing who are your friends. You can pray. And it is the most powerful thing in the universe. But you got to pray. And by the grace of God, you got to be fervent. And you got to get clean. Write the fourth and final thing down and we'll be done this morning. You got to persist. It's in the story right here. You know this is 1 Kings chapter 17 and 18. Verse 18, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Elijah's on Mount Carmel. They've faced the prophets of Baal, and they've decided the God who answers by fire. And the bottom line is, the prophets of Baal can bring no fire. Elijah prays, down comes the fire. Now remember this, it took one prayer to shut off the rain, just one. It took one prayer to bring down the fire, just one. But now he's going to pray and bring back the rain. And if you read the story, Elijah prays and says, God, bring the rain. And he sends his servant out and he said, go see if there's rain. And the servant comes back, no rain. Whoa, 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 Elijah, what happened here? One prayer shut it off. One prayer brought down the fire. Now you just prayed one prayer and we don't have the rain back. So he prays again. Sends the servant out. Servant comes back, no rain. Elijah, we now got twice as much prayer in getting the rain back. What's up? So he prays a third time, and a fourth time, and a fifth time. And he keeps sending the servant out, and the servant keeps coming back saying, no rain. What if he'd have quit at four, or three, or five? But he didn't. He kept praying. He persisted. He prayed a sixth time and then a seventh time. And on the seventh time, the servant went out and came back. There's a cloud about the size of a man's hand. And Elijah said, rain's coming. Get out of here. What have you persisted in prayer for? What can you show me that through persistent prayer, you move the hand of the Almighty God? You realize two of Jesus' parables that he gave you and me were on persisting in prayer. The parable of the unjust judge, where the lady keeps persisting, and finally the judge says, because you persist. And Jesus said, that's how I want you to be with your Father. I want you to persist, knowing he's going to answer. Have faith. The other one was the man that got guests late at night. They're all in bed. Goes to the neighbor and says, I got to have food. And he says, no, 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 go away. We're all in bed. And he said, no, no, no. And he kept knocking till the neighbor got up. And Jesus said, don't you stop knocking. What's on your list to persist? I was preaching in Lebanon, Pennsylvania, and a man came forward to get saved. All beat up, haggard looking. Mercy, he'd lived a tough life. And when he came forward, the church got really excited. They started crying and shouting. And I said to the preacher, this is a bad man here that's getting saved. He said, oh, the toughest I've ever seen. He said, David, for years, when we go out there, over 20 years, he shoots at you. He said, we got bullet holes in our cars. He said, one of the deacons went out there and the guy hit the gas tank and blew his car up. He said, when we say, who wants to go visit him? Nobody raises their hand. And here he is getting saved. I said, that's wonderful. I said, no wonder they're crying. He said, that's not what they're crying about. He said, you see the lady over here four rows back that's sobbing? I said, yeah. He said, that's his mother. And Brother Gibbs, for 20 years, she's not missed one time at the altar praying for that boy. And he said, I told her, you don't need to keep coming forward. She said, no. The devil's not going to get him. No. I am going to persist in prayer. Whoa. What would it take for you to be the friend God's called you to be? Can I say this respectfully? If you don't pray, there's no way you can be the friend God's called you to be. Amen. Prayer is essential to walking with God. We're commanded to pray. Don't you ever forget, when we pray, we stand in the throne room of God with God saying, ask, what do you want, and you shall receive. And if we're going to have power in prayer, you got to get specific. You got to get fervent. You got to get clean, not cleaner, clean. And by God's grace, you got to persist. If you're here this morning and you say, David, my prayer life doesn't have the power you're talking about, change it this morning. You absolutely can. I promise you, God wants to hear from you today. He wants to hear from me. And we can do the most powerful thing in the universe. We can pray. And be the friend God's called you to be. Nothing you can do comes close to prayer when it comes to being somebody's friend. Really praying for them. It'll change everything. If you're here and you don't know Christ, oh, my friend, the most wonderful thing in the world is to know Jesus as your personal Savior. Can I remind you, prayer is the key in that? The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What would it take for you this morning to accept the greatest gift ever given to man, life everlasting? You see, when Jesus died on that cross, that these young men sang about, what the choir sang about, he didn't die for his sins, he died for mine. He died for yours. And the question is, will you accept the payment the Son of God made? Or do you want to step into eternity and pay in hell for your sins yourself? Oh, I tell everybody when I witness to them, anybody in their right mind does not want to pay for their sins in hell. My God loves you so much, he doesn't want you to go there. And can I remind you, when he died on that cross, 3 days later, he rose again. And he now sits at the right hand of the Father. And this morning, he's there to hear your prayer. He's there to hear from you. If you're saved, I ask you, do you have the prayer life the Bible commands us to have? If you don't, fix that this morning. And if you're here without Christ, my dear friend, don't leave here without what the Bible says is a free gift. You cannot buy it. You cannot earn it. The only thing you can do is receive it and ask for it. Prayer. The most powerful thing in the universe. Let's pray. Father,